Welcome to this special presentation of Bait and Switch Podcast Sports, a wholly owned subsidiary of the Bait and Switch Podcast.
Any other use of this podcast or descriptions or accounts of this broadcast without the consent of the Bait and Switch Podcast is strictly prohibited.
Welcome back to the Bait and Switch Podcast. It's Jim. It's Chris Beyer, as always, with Jim Martin. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Chris. He's a little flustered.
Yeah, I'm flustered.
Exciting day.
Very exciting day it is, because this is our yearly thing that we've got going here with our good friend Jeff Grayson and former brewer Jerry Augustine. Hello, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, great to be with you.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Great. We're doing great. Excellent. I got to say something a little bit here to start with, which is our podcast, it's not a big deal. You know, we get, you know, a couple hundred, 100 or more downloads a week or something. We've had 50,000 over the years, something like that. Not a huge podcast by any means. But this podcast in particular, we're batting above our weight here. We're hitting above our weight. Yeah. We've got three of the most, honestly, I'll just say this. This is true. Any other podcast, we can compete with that. We can compete with any other Brewers preview podcast there is out there. This little podcast, we've got three voices here that are great. I'm going to start. I won't introduce them quite yet, but my co-host, Jim Martin, he is passionate about this game. These guys know it. Jeff and Augie have got to know. Jim knows his stuff when it comes to the Brewers. Mm-hmm. Then we got the historian. We got Jeff Grayson, who can talk Milwaukee sports of all kinds for the last 30, 40 years. And then we got the man. Then we got the man that played the game. We got Jerry Augustine. So this podcast, the Bait and Switch Podcast, bats above its weight once a year for this Brewers preview podcast. So I just want to give it up for our podcast.
We appreciate it. Yeah. Well done. Well done to us.
Yeah, well done to us. So
well done, guys.
So anyway, as I introduced him, we got Jim Martin. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Chris.
And we got Jeff Grayson, who worked for Fox Sports. He was the pregame, postgame guy for 10 years, 11 years?
11 years.
Yeah, back in the 2000s.
2007 to 17. Right. 10 years, 11 seasons. Yep.
And your broadcast partner for a lot of that was former brewer Jerry Augustine.
Absolutely. My partner in crime, the king of Kiwani.
A lot of years. I learned a lot from Jeff. I learned a lot from Jeff, especially how to do Casey Kasem.
Right. Oh, yeah. And did you guys work together almost all of those years?
Yeah, we worked.
Pretty much so, yeah.
Yeah, we worked with, we're both blessed. I'll speak for Augie for one moment. We're both blessed to be friends and worked with the late Davey Nelson. And
that's right.
For me, I got to become friends with Augie and Davey Nelson, two of the nicest people I've ever met in my life, honestly. And I got to work with both of them and talk baseball. And so Augie and I would do tons of games each year. And I did some with Davey. He and Davey would switch off. But for most of my years, my broadcast partner mainly was Augie. And we love talking baseball and we're friends. Oh, and it's one of the great blessings is to be friends with Augie and be on the air with him. And also we both absolutely loved Davey Nelson.
And you know what? I always throw one last person note. Augie's probably heard the story once or twice from me. Jerry Augustine was our favorite brewer for a reason that he might remember, which is growing up, my dog's name was Augie. And so Jim remembered Augie.
Wow. So That's an honor.
Out of a guy whose nickname was Augie. I mean, Augie was the favorite brewer in our household. Every time they mentioned Augie, we'd giggle.
That is awesome. If you ever want to become anonymous and feel like you're invisible, you walk around the concourse at American Family Field or in the parking lots with Augie, and it is amazing how much people, hey, Augie.
I wear a sign. I wear a shirt that says, hey, holler, Augie.
All right. Well, the first topic I'm going to throw out is one that Jeff said we got to talk about first. I do want to talk about last year, but we got to talk about
Pat Murphy.
We got to talk about Craig Counsell, the former manager now of the Brewers. Jeff, lay it out for us here. What happened with our manager and our managing situation right now?
Well, it's amazing when a manager switch is really the talk of baseball and the shocker of the offseason. And Craig Counsell definitely had the surprise situation. But Craig Counsell, to bottom line at first, was a free agent. His contract was up, and he was very open about that. He looked at his situation, and the Cubs had a manager in David Ross, who's kind of a getting better as a manager. He's there 4 years. He's a World Series hero. People thought maybe he'll go to the Mets, talking about counsel. Maybe he'll go to Cleveland, possibly, although I don't think any of us really thought that. Maybe he'll stay with the Brewers. Nobody saw the Cubs. Right. And then the Cubs, he went there. Now, we're all going to have our takes on this. I'll give you mine as quickly and concisely as I can. In hindsight, if you look back and you think you have the best manager in your industry and there are only 30 of them, I think the Brewers should have tried to lock him up a couple of years ago. If you think he's the best, and I think he is, and you do what the Bucks do, you don't wait for it to get close. If you think he's the best, but that's hindsight. What's not hindsight is, in my opinion, when the Brewers made the Hader trade August 1st of 2022, I think that was what finished it for Council in Milwaukee, because at that time of the trade, the Brewers had a three-game lead in the National League Central on St. Louis. They make that trade. You give up an all-star closer who had still another year on his deal. Mark Adonazio said that was why they made the deal, because they didn't want to trade a rental player. But you're in a pennant race. You're up three on the Cardinals on August 1st, not June 1st or May 1st. They didn't get that much for him. I know it eventually led to Contreras, but they didn't get much for him. It affected the clubhouse. It splintered it. They went from three up on August 1st to finishing seven behind the Cardinals that year, a 10-game swing. In my opinion, that said to Council, geez, we got a team that could possibly go for the pennant. Again, that's just my thought, and I think that was the last straw. Now, as a fan, of course I would have loved for him to stay. He's a Milwaukee guy. He grew up in Whitefish Bay. We all know that he was a player. His dad worked for the Brewers. As a fan, I would have loved for him to stay. And to have him go to Chicago, I understand that's tough to swallow. However, he saw an opportunity. He was open about seeing what was out there. It's going to be a fascinating storyline. I don't think he owes us anything in the long run. He's still a proud Milwaukee person. Yes, I understand the sting from him going to the Cubs, but Vince Lombardi left. Curly Lambeau went to the Chicago Cardinals. Mike Holmgren went to Seattle. Don Nelson went to Golden State. And what did they all have in common? They wanted a chance to maybe go a little bigger. Some of them got more power. Craig is the highest paid manager. It does happen. I don't think it takes away from what he did. And it makes for a fascinating storyline with his mentor now managing against him. But it was a shocker. Now I'll stop talking.
Augie, do you agree with Jeff? Is he the best manager in baseball, or one of the best?
I think he became the best manager in baseball. I think when you look at what Craig did when he first got there, I think he came with an idea that he got to play there long enough to where he knew that when he went with the organization, then came back as a manager, that he had a change of culture. And the culture was that, hey, you know what? You've got to be a good teammate. That's one thing he said when he first came in. He said, what we're going to do is I don't have any limitations. You go out and you perform the way you want. I think along with what Jeff said, it was really exactly what he said, I think is true. But I think there's a little bit of things that goes back. When you talk about Craig Council was a player here. When he was a kid, 8 years old, he was 10 years old, he was running around our clubhouse. He's around the organization with his dad. He knew exactly what was going on. As he got older, he came and hit with us, and he'd hit them in the cages. So he understood Milwaukee, and he understood Milwaukee, what it's made out of. But I think what happened was, after he got done playing, Craig didn't go into being a manager right away. What did he do? He learned the organization. He became assistant to the general manager, and he learned about what this organization was to do, how they were going to go about it, and what they needed to be successful. He was around the organization in 82 when we went to the World Series, so he understood that. So I think as he went along, he learned it. He learned the organization. He changed the culture in the organization, and he thought if he changed the culture, he'd get that one thing he wanted to do. And that's to bring a World Series to Milwaukee. He fell a little bit short, but I think what happened in it, learning the organization, I think Mark Adonazio And some of the managers might have taken him for granted, saying that, you know what? He's going to stay here. He's a Wisconsin guy. He isn't going anywhere. Craig is a winner. He's been part of two World Series, and he's a winner. He wants to win a World Series as a manager. And I think that's a part of what I think everybody wants to do. And I think he got to a point where after that Hader trade, when they were as close as they were going to go, and they were built to go deep into the playoffs at that time, when that happened, it destroyed him. It really changed the culture, like Jeff said, in the clubhouse. Everything changed. And I think that right there, he decided that, you know what, I have to take a really good look at this. And look was, you know what, maybe I just can't do it here.
Yeah. You know, Jim is, like I said, he's the passionate one. How much does this, how much
are pretty passionate.
And they're passionate, but Jim, he lives and dies his stuff.
We are too. We
how
are
much
too.
Does this sting, Jim? How much does you this know, sting?
I understand it stings a lot. And it's not that he left. I get that. You know, I mean, it's, if he had gone to the Mets, I get it. You know, Stearns went to the Mets and now he goes, follows him. That all makes sense. It's this idea that he's going to Chicago. Like, that is what really is like, that's what the kicker is. Like, you know, because so if he goes and wins a World Series with Chicago, I mean, if I'm here, I grew up in Milwaukee, all this Milwaukee background, I go to Chicago and win a championship, I feel like it's tainted. It feels bad to me. It feels dirty. but you know, I mean, I definitely hear what you guys are saying. He's a really, really smart guy. Yeah. You know, that's, and I loved him as a manager. And I think you're right on with the Hader thing. And I'm going to tack on something else. I think potentially the Burns fiasco last year potentially put more sort of like doubt in his mind, or kind of like maybe bad feelings towards, I don't know, maybe some of the organization or whatever, however they handled that stuff. And it felt like last year, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, it felt to me a little bit like, he kind of mailed it in last year. Like they weren't playing their best ball. He was doing things. He wasn't doing things, I should say, that I thought he normally did. Like there wasn't a lot of bunting. There wasn't a lot of situational stuff, a lot of things that council's kind of known for, small ball, things like that. It just felt like it was just kind of like, hey, let's just wrap it up. Let's just get this kind of over with. And then I'll move on. And you know, it felt like he knew that he was gone last year.
That's a
council
great
does
comment.
Not like the bunt. Yeah, council does not like the bunt, though. In fact, he was joking at spring training that he says why he's not a total bunt guy. But I know what you're saying. I think so. Sorry, Augie, I kind of talked over you. Yeah, it does sting. Ahead. It does sting as a sports fan. I'm with you there, but I totally understand that. I'll admit that as a TV person growing up in Milwaukee, there were times where I thought, yeah, it'd be kind of cool to try to see, you know, how I do in Chicago just because, you know, it's a bigger place. But he you're right in that it does sting. But, yeah, I lost my train of thought, I guess, to be honest. Augie,
the Hader trade, like Jeff said, was a big cause of it. But I think when you talk about exclamation marks, that Corbin Burns was, it was just something that should have never happened. And maybe Corbin Burns would still be there. But I think the one thing, guys, is when you see him now in Chicago, has he really changed? He's identical. Right. He's the same guy he was in Milwaukee. And he, you know, I think sometimes he wonders, well, why does Milwaukee, why are you being so hard on me? But you know what? He hasn't changed. It's about the game of baseball. He's more about the game of baseball than it is about, hey, where are you? I want to win. I want to have the opportunity. And he feels that he had to go somewhere to get that opportunity, especially what happened with Hader. And now what you just said about Corbin Burns definitely had a lot to do with it.
Augie,
it's just last thing. I was going to say, being a Milwaukee guy, if he could have won it, it would have been amazing. But people forget the one man who managed the Milwaukee Brewers to get to a World Series, Harvey Keene.
Harvey Keene.
West Dallas.
Yep, he's a local guy.
People forget about that Harvey was one of us. He was a Wisconsin guy all the way because it was a while ago, you know. Yeah. And just to have had counsel, if he could have gotten there, it would have been amazing. And I totally understand, Jim, if he does it with the Cubs, I'll be happy for Craig Counsell, but it won't be quite the same as if he had brought his hometown team. Sure. That's a unique situation.
Augie, how about this new coach? What do you think about him?
Murph? I think Murph was probably as good a selection as they could have made. Now, let me say why. they have a youth movement going on. If you look at their roster this year, it's going to be a lot of younger players. Cheerio, they signed to the $80 million contract and all these things. But you got to look at what type of coach Murph is. If you look at NC2A Division I coaches, Pat Murphy is the fastest NC2A coach to get to 500 wins and the youngest. And so when you think about what he did and how he accomplished it, not only at Notre Dame, but down at Arizona State, and he's, I tell you, he's relished in Arizona. They love him down here. And so when you talk about Murph, the being able to handle guys on a college, with a college level attitude with the younger players, but yet know how to have correspond and meet the, and get to the personalities of the older players, which he learned, I think, a lot from Craig. And doing that, I think he's the perfect manager for the Brewers right now. And Antanasi was not going to let him go no matter what. That wasn't right. going to happen. None of the coaches yeah. were going to go. It wasn't going to happen. So yeah. what does he do? He keeps Murph on and gives Murph the opportunity. And I'm going to tell you what, I love it because I think the storyline for this yeah. year is absolutely, it's just going to be fun. This division is going to be a great division.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what, Murphy Council is going to be right at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jim, in light of what you said about all this bad blood that had been developing, is it probably best what happened?
Well, certainly it seems like it was best for him to move on. Again,
and is it best for the Brewers that now that perhaps somebody that was not happy here is gone and they got somebody new, like Augie's saying, that's really connected with these young players?
You know, potentially. I mean, it's similar to some football, you know, football things where, you know, like the
Rodgers love.
Well, yeah, but also Mike McCarthy kind of got stagnant. You know, he's always going to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We just couldn't get mm-hmm. it. You know, you just got to shake things up a little bit, change it around. So, yeah, that might not, you know, that's not always a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that gets me too about him leaving is that it makes me feel like, boy, if he doesn't think we can win it, like, oh, yeah, then maybe, you know, maybe we're just, you know, we're not ready for this or something. I don't know. But yeah, it was probably not a terrible thing. Like yeah. you said, you know, if there's some bad feelings there, then it might be best for everybody.
Jeff,
it's not the Cubs.
It is a big market thing too. You've got David Stearns from New York, who's the general manager in the biggest market in the United States. And now you got Craig, who's in the third biggest market. So they're both in different situations, but they're going to take their swing, pun intended, in the biggest stages.
Yep. Yeah, Jeff, briefly, we do want to talk about this new team. Last yeah. year, Brewers got into the playoffs and then immediately tanked. Was it a small sample size and we just got unlucky? Or was there something wrong with how they approached the playoffs that led to their demise?
Well, shame on me last year, the 1 year in the years we've been doing this, I didn't pick them to win the division last year. And that was, you know, my mistake because Council and the Brewers did it. I mean, some injuries down the stretch, you guys forgive me, with Woodruff getting injured. I think that hurt. I think they kind of overachieved last year, to tell you the truth. I think they went as far as they were going to go. I know they're division champion, but I guess the early exit didn't surprise me that much. I didn't think they had enough potency offensively. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like, I guess to be succinct, I thought they overachieved last year to get to that playoff spot. I was very happy they did. Mm-hmm. But I sort of sensed that was as far as that team was going to go. They're going to need some offensive firepower additions. And that was with Burns right. and yep. if Woodruff was able to come back.
Okay, Augie, he just said offensive firepower. Do we have more offensive firepower this year?
It's going to, you know, it's really interesting. I think what Contreras did last year and the way he's starting off this year, and he's such a really good hitter. But I think when they went out and they got Hoskins from Philadelphia, I thought is a huge key. He's a guy who played in an organization that's a winner. He knows how to win. He's gonna be anchoring. He's that veteran leadership that they need. But I think what you look at, you started to see Christian Yelich start to get back in that MVP style form where he was leading off, and now they make him in the third slot depending on how Murph wants to go about it. But I think that with Contreras doing what he did, I think Hoskins coming in and doing what he is going to do, Adames definitely has to have a better year. at short, and he's going to, you'll find out how the team goes, whether they keep him or not. But when you put those, you put Hoskins, you put Contreras, you put Yelich, and you put Adames in there. Those four guys are your keys. They have to go out and they have to perform. The other guys around them, they're just going to be who they are. And they're young kids learning. But those four guys have to go out and they have to perform. And it's that's the whole crux of it. Can offensively they do anything? If those four guys do, all the little guys are going to chip in. Guys like Monasterio, and you get these other guys that they picked up. They can go out and the young kids. Mitchell's having a great spring. Yeah. You know, and these guys. These are all good young players, but can they perform? They can perform when you have those four guys going out each and every day and doing what they have to do.
Those guys have to lead.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim, what do you think about the offense this year? Anything to add?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we definitely just anything to add, not a whole lot, because that's, Augie summed it up pretty well. I mean, you could put Hoskins in there, Yelich coming back to his form last year, which was finally great to see. He's kind of like broke out of this like couple year slump. That was excellent. Like you're talking about Mitchell, you know, starting real well in the spring and hopefully, you know, he got hurt last year. So hopefully that, you know, he can stay healthy this year and be a contributor. And then, you know, we didn't talk about Cherio yet, but, you know, that's going to be a kind of a, I don't know. I don't want to say a slow progression, but I mean, you know, he's super young guy and he's going to be learning stuff, but hopefully, you know, maybe he'll come up to speed as the team goes along. But yeah, it's exciting to see the offense. And then, we look at, oh, Woodruff is out for the season. Burns is gone. Yeah. This, that, you know, Williams is out for two to three months now. I mean, there's just like bink, 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 bink. Like, oh,
yeah,
the pitching, which was so solid for so many years, and we didn't have the hitting. Now it seems like we got a lot more of the hitting. Now the pitching feels like I don't know where it's at. Now I'll stop because you're the moderator, and I'm taking us in a different direction.
Yeah. Jeff. Finish up talking about the offense. What do you think about? I'll ask you this: any guesses as to why Yelich had this slump? Whether there's some type of injury I'm not aware of, and then secondly, this whole pitching thing. The Brewers were maybe historically one of the strongest rotations ever. I've heard, you know, there for a while, and now are we just kind of middling?
First on Yelich. Battled a lot of health problems the last few years. And when he came over in a trade from Miami those first couple of years, he was as good as any outfielder in the National Leagues and in the game. I mean, it was just a perfect situation. And like Augie said, they need him to lead like he started to show last season. I think with him, it was just a matter of getting healthy. I think he made some modifications in his swing a little bit. He's never going to be the greatest defensive player. His arm isn't that good, but they've got him in left. So I think he can, I think he can be an effective player again, like he was. As far as the staff, I always defer to our lefty from Augie on this, but it is amazing though. We can't underestimate. This doesn't take away from the Brewers at all, but I mean, you lose a Cy Young, you lose your top two starters for different reasons. You know, obviously Corbin Burns is going to be the offseason story a year from now because he's going to be a free agent, and Scott Boras strongly dissuades his clients from signing with their existing team. He wants them to test the market. So maybe Burns winds up an Oriole again a year from now, but he's gonna get boatloads of offers. He'll probably go somewhere else and be a new standard setter for salary. You lose, you not lose, but you trade Burns. Hopefully what they got back is going to help them in the future. Keep in mind the Orioles have the number one farm system in baseball. So I hope some of these young guys they got from the Orioles pan out. The Brewers by some publications are number two. But then you lose Woodruff, the number two guy. Freddie Peralta's gotta step up big time and keep pitching like he has. And I also a guy I love and I think you guys love, Wade Miley. Yes. I love that he came back to the Brewers. I love that he's there, and they really need him. And then they're going to have to do a lot by committee. And then their closer, all-star closer, is out. So this is a big challenge for Murph and company. Sorry, Augie, if you're the pitching guy.
You said it well. You said it well.
Yeah. Augie, general overview here. I'll agree with Jeff that I think the Brewers overachieved last year. Right, that they're a little bit better. Are the Brewers currently in the ascendancy, descendancy, or are they at a plateau, do you think?
when Woodruff got hurt last year, just hurt him immensely. A lot of, you can say anything you want to say about Corbin Burns. I think Corbin Burns is one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. I call him the doctor because he can go up and dissect the plate and throw whatever he wants to do. But my real guy, the real batter, the real warrior was Woodruff. Yep. And they're not going to have him this year. And I think that's going to be as big a loss as you can have because you got two really star pitchers right there. It's going to put a lot of pressure on Freddie. But Freddie's gotten better, and he's getting better each and every year. Can he take it that next step now? It's not about going out and being able to throw a better slider. It's not about better fastball. It's about that mental side of the game. And when you talk about Freddie Peralta, can he get a little bit smarter? Can he get a little bit more advanced in that mental part of the game? Because when you're the number one guy or looked at as the number one guy, boy, when you get the ball, you got to be prepared. And I think that's going to be a big challenge for Freddie. I really like Colin Ray. I think he's just an outstanding pitcher, locates the ball very well. Wade Miley, like you guys said, I think he's the kind of guy that they need to get 25 starts out of. If they can, they're going to be successful. But then you look at guys, they have that D.A. Hall that they got in there. They got Aaron Ashby, who's a little bit behind. Joe Ross, these guys that they picked up, they're all throwing the ball pretty well in spring training. So it's going to get interesting. But you can take all the starters that you want. You make up five guys that start, you're going to end up with seven or eight that are going to start during the season. But it's that bullpen. And I think when Devin Williams, when he comes back, he's going to be out for a couple months, but it's going to give young pitchers an opportunity to go do something really special in a hard part of the ball game. And I don't know if it's going to be Uribe or whoever it's going to be, but I'm going to tell you what, the first 2 months of this season, if that bullpen can consistently go out and pitch the way they did last year, and they're all back there and they're all throwing the ball well, and they all have a lot of velocity, I'm going to tell you what, this could be really interesting. You can go as far as you want with your pitching, starting pitching, but what wins pennants? Bullpens.
Yeah. Jim, of the three, the starters, middle relief, and late relief, in light of these injuries and trades and things like that, which one is the strongest?
You know, I'll say that I don't, like I said, I don't know. I was looking at the roster the other day, and like 75% of the names, I don't even know these guys. So it's really hard for me to say. I would probably say, due to the reasons we just talked about, right? The guys leaving Woodruff and Burns specifically, but I would say probably the middle relief. The middle relief was pretty solid actually last year, and I think a lot of those guys are back this year. You know, obviously we just talked about Williams going down, so we'll have to see what's going on in the back end. But tell me, guys, if I'm way off base with this or not. But this is kind of my own personal perspective of pitching and specifically new guys. A lot of times guys come up for the minors and initially they start out really strong. And I think it's because these batters haven't seen them. There's not a lot of film on them. There's not a lot to look at. They just don't know what these guys can throw. They don't know a lot about them. So you'll see a guy come up and like, oh, it's first game and like, oh, one hitter, or, you know, I mean, this crazy stuff. So I'm hoping for some of that kind of in our back end, our bullpen area, you know, where these guys aren't seeing these guys a lot and they're new, you know, so I'm kind of, you know, fingers crossed for that kind of thing. But does that sound like, maybe I'm just seeing that from my own, you know, that's my theory. So how you see what you want to look, what you want to see, but, that's my theory.
What do you think about that, Augie? Did you, when you were a young pitcher, did part of you think, hey, I've got something on these guys, they don't know me?
Yes and no. I think when you're a pitcher, it's all about being able to go out and execute what you do the best. And when you look at these pitchers and the way Chris Hook works with them and the way they've been, what they have gone through, I think he does an excellent job of telling these young pitchers, hey, this is what you do best. Let's take it and let's make it better. And I think that's what you see out of this bullpen. When you look at, you take this Uribe guy, Abner Uribe, I think the guy's got phenomenal talent. I think he's going to be a great pitcher. But does he have that potential to be that closer style guy? I don't know if he mentally has that. But he has the ability to go and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to challenge you in 6, 7, and 8. I'm going to challenge you to 6, 7, 8. I'm coming right after you. And that's what makes him strong. You take a guy like Piams, who we got from Oakland. He's a little guy that I think they can use as a closer. He's got great stuff. But the success of this success in pitching, when you come out of the bullpen, you got to throw strikes. You got to pitch ahead, and you can't walk people. And if you look at this Brewer pitching staff, all these guys like Poggiero, all these guys that come out of bullpen, Milner, all these guys that come out, what do? Strike one, strike two. When they throw strike one, strike two, they win. And they're ahead, and that's what you have to do out of bullpen. Walks late in the ballgame, getting behind is going to get you in trouble. So I think what these young pitchers are learning, they're really coming up with the attitude saying, you know what, I'm going to do what I do best, but I'm going to throw strikes. If I throw strikes, I'm going to be successful. And then all of a sudden you get that aggressive, you get that mind, that mindset saying that, you know what, I know what I have to do when I go out in the ballgame. And if I go and I pitch and I throw strikes, I'm going to win. And that's the way this bullpen is pitched. If you look at them, they've been successful what? When they throw strikes early in counts.
Well, correct Jeff, me if I'm wrong. Oh, I was going to say, I remember when Brandon Woodruff came up. I think Augie and I did the game. I think Brandon Woodruff was called up, and he pitched at Busch Stadium against the Cardinals. They'd never seen him before, right?
Oh, boy.
His first start. And he came up, and he was amazing. He was unbelievable. They had his family there all at the last minute, right, Augie? And
That's right.
They hadn't seen him before. And he came up and did, Jim, what you were talking about. And those were great hitters with the Cardinals. And that was a good omen.
Let me ask you one last question. We're going to wrap up the first half. We got to talk about the MLB coming up here in the second half. We will talk about our predictions for the Brewers here in the second half. One last topic I want to talk about, the Brewers Stadium. There's talk about, is there some type of referendum? What's going on with the Brewers Stadium in terms of fixing it? And is it a sure thing? And the Brewers, are they going to be here long term?
Well, you guys probably know as much about this as I do, but this was one thing I thought from a PR standpoint hurt the Brewers during the council situation, because if I'm not mistaken, he left at around the exact same time that the bill was going to pass, right, for the $500 million taxpayer-funded of the Brewers Stadium at the same time where he was getting more money from Chicago. I'm not saying that Mark Adonazio should have matched, and I don't even know if Craig would have stayed anyway, but it was a strange juxtaposition when the bill passed and Craig left at the exact same time. My take, and I don't want to speak out of turn here, and I strongly ask you guys to correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that the bill was passed, that it was approved.
I didn't know.
The stadium is going to be funded, and it's going to be improved and maintained.
Okay.
And that is a done deal.
Okay. I didn't know.
And that Brewers are going to be there for decades to come. I think they're going to get a new roof. That's a big part of it,
as well
as just the infrastructure of the ballpark. But that money's done. We're going to see it on the receipts of everything we pay for.
I think it's 25 years. They got for 25 more years. And, some of that process you have to look at the process was. Part of that process of Major League Baseball looking at stadiums, Mark Antanasio was on that board. Yeah. And so you talk about the Brewers and Mark Antanasio and all that stuff here. There's a lot of different connotations going around. Did Mark want to just sell the team? What's going to happen here? But it all came down to where Mark did come out and say, hey, I want to keep this team as long as I can. Let's make this work. And then with the political side of it in Madison, they were able to accomplish it.
Okay. What was good is the park's not that old either.
It's a great ballpark.
It's a good ballpark. And Mark Adonazio and the Brewers have always worked to improve the experience from the concessions to everything else. They're always working at it. But to maintain this ballpark as a structure, as a facility, that's what this is going for. So you're right, Augie. I mean, Adonazio wants to keep the Brewers where they are and deserves credit for that.
All right. Well, that's good news. Well, let's wrap up the first half of the podcast. We'll take a short pause, and then we're going to come back and talk about the MLB in general. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Join us next time on the Bait and Switch podcast when we take a look at the upcoming MLB season with Jeff Grayson and Jerry Augustine.
You've made it to the end of another Bait and Switch podcast. Spread the word.